advertisers have always used a particular calculation to determine the value of a piece of content. Something like, how many people watch this times what is the average demographic of those people times what percentage of them will buy my product if it's advertised here. But for us, the audience, a fixing value is much trickier. I wouldn't pay $2 to see, say, Playing for Keeps, but I would pay twice the movie ticket price to see a feature-length sequel to Battlestar Galactica. Oh, yes, I would. Economists use the term consumer surplus to describe the difference between what something costs and how much more you would have paid for it if you'd only been asked. And consumer surplus is what drives the newest way to underwrite content. Crowdfunding. You can pay whatever a piece of art or entertainment is actually worth to you. The TV mystery show Veronica Mars was not a mainstream success, but it was beloved by its fans. Rob Thomas, the show's creator, banked on that love when entreating those fans to pony up $2 million on the funding platform Kickstarter for a Veronica Mars movie.
If we reach our fundraising goal, we'll shoot the movie this summer.
But when we hit the magic number, don't stop donating.
That extra cash will be our car chase and nudity fund.
He asked for $2 million. He got $5.7 million. TV star Zach Braff also asked for $2 million on Kickstarter to make a movie. So far, he's passed $2.5 million, and he still has some time to go.
There are money guys willing to finance the project, but in order to protect their investment, they're insisting on having final cut. That brings us to Kickstarter. After I saw how the amazing Veronica Mars fans rallied around that project in a mind-blowing way, I couldn't help but think, like so many others, maybe this could be a new paradigm for filmmakers who want to make smaller, personal films without having to sign away any of their artistic freedom.
Consumer surplus is an expression of passion. Roman Mars, host of the podcast and radio show 99% Invisible, used Kickstarter to fund his third season. The way Kickstarter works is, if you don't hit your goal, you get nothing. He asked for $42,000. He got $170,000 for $177,000.
I think they were entranced by this idea that they were joining this club to make a new type of public radio show and podcast. You know, like, here's your shot, kid. They're part of a movement. But also the psychological factor, what makes Kickstarter so great is that threshold effect of getting all or nothing. If you don't pass that threshold, you get nothing.
There's been a fair amount of pushback about Zach Braff's crowdfunding project to make a movie, somebody with so much money asking fans to fund his project. Do you think there's anything wrong with that?
I think I've largely come down to the idea that Kickstarter as a platform, it's meant to be kind of agnostic about these things. What I don't believe is that a Kickstarter like Zach Braff's or Veronica Mars is taking any money away from an independent producer. I think there's probably a lot of people that were brought to Kickstarter from those campaigns that had never heard of it before. So in that sense, it doesn't bother me. You know, for the Veronica Mars one, it is an indirect subsidy of Warner Brothers, you know, making a movie, which somebody who gives money to them should think through, but you're not compelled to give. So that's okay with me.
If we step outside of the Kickstarter platform specifically and just talk about the donation model, and our whole program this week is devoted to trying to grapple with the question, even if we can't answer it, how are we going to pay for all this stuff? And donations, surprisingly, seems to be a potentially sustainable way of doing that.
I think that is the way of things. And I like the fact that you are opening up the show to allow people to be a part of it in some way. And I know it's kind of corny, and it's one of the things we say on public radio, but it really feels that way. When I did this, people wrote me as if I was giving them a gift that they could give to the show and be a part of it and help it happen. If you can have audience like that, you can make something.
Has your success using Kickstarter changed your view of your future?
Definitely. I did Kickstarter because I needed a problem solved. I needed to pay myself a little bit of something and pay my contributors to do this show because I was going broke, paying them and not paying myself. It was just about that. what I got from Kickstarter changed the way I viewed like my audience and how I could operate in this world. It gave me time. There's a perversity of money that money follows money. And so like when I raised money on Kickstarter, I got more underwriting support.
Everybody loves a winner.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, I realized in this process, and part of this is me enjoying the success of the Kickstarter campaign, is that I kind of like solving the problem of funding the show. I didn't think I would ever enjoy this part, but I kind of like it. I kind of like this idea of entrepreneurial journalism. It's just a puzzle like anything else, and I'm a producer, and my job is to solve problems. And this is just the most immediate problem that we have. And so coming up with a creative way to solve that problem that doesn't annoy your audience, that brings them in, that makes them feel part of something, and kind of something joyful, in fact, then you've done a really good job with it. And you can hear those people who do this well. Like Ira Glass, when he goes on and asks for money, he sounds like he's enjoying solving the problem of asking for money. You just make it like everything else that you make. You make it sound good. You make it honest. And a connection is there. And as long as you can do that and solve that problem well, then it's actually kind of fun.
I can never get that desperation out of my voice when I'm pledging. I guess I'm doomed. Roman, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Roman Mars is the host of the podcast and radio show 99% Invisible.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.